Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Apologist segment of ARC Studies Live. I'm your host, Rick Young. ARC Studies Live is the blogcast radio outreach of the Apologetic Research Center. ARC is a Christian ministry specializing in evangelism, Christian apologetics, and counterculture studies. For more information about ARC, go to the World Wide Web at www.arcstudies.org. Morning's daily edition of the ARC Studies Live broadcast. I'm your host, Rick Young. The daily broadcast, Hath God Said, where I take the opportunity to address some of the issues that are the questions and the comments that are swirling about out in the marketplace of ideas. I do believe that many people are seeking an answer as to what, particular things are out there. What does the Word of God say on particular issues? And I think in the absence of people having the opportunity to participate or having the ability to access something that provides that to them, you're left with the sugar water. And what I mean by the sugar water is this, is that what's parading out in the marketplace of ideas, for the most part, that concerns me, what's parading out there is it gives a rush. You know, you feel like you get a rush from it, but there's no spiritual nutritional value, and that's why I call it sugar water. If you give a child, you know, for instance, like some natural juices and the like, one thing that will happen to them is that, they'll receive the vitamins and the nutrients and the energy that comes from the particular vitamins and nutrients. But if you give a child a cup of sugar water, it'll appear like they have a bunch of energy as well. Well, they will have energy, the sugar energy, which is wasted energy. And it'll burn out and it'll crash and burn. That's why you see these people, oftentimes who are, in churches who every, they'll go up and hit the altar every Sunday for a while because they're looking for that rush that comes with that, you know, and then after a while, what happens is they just end up falling away again, you know, because you're not providing them with anything of sustenance. I got a sad story. I mean, we have an ARC member who, an ARC board member, a Research Center board member who we've always had concerns about from the standpoint, I'm sure he may hear this and it may upset him, you know, but it is the truth. The truth is what it is. But he always, like, again, there's nothing new under the sun. What you see, or what I'm engaging with these people on, why would I even spend the time and engage some of this stuff? Because I believe that people are sincere, they're sincerely wrong, and I know the danger of the situation that they're in, the precariousness that they put themselves in when they're running off of emotion and always trying to be sages, you know, who somehow can rely on their insight. In fact, they're the very thing that many of these in the revolution have tried to run away from. In the IC, Well, these come out and they try to fill that void. They become the very thing. You know, a good example is you'll hear them complaining about how you'll go to some of the people in the IC or some people's pages or groups, and they'll engage these people in their error, and they take great joy because then these people will block them or delete what they're saying, and it's a shit, they couldn't stand the truth. But all you have to do is watch, and they do the same thing to people who engage them in their group. They actually become the very thing that they decry. I was looking in, there's another group that I participate on, and you know, there are a number of groups of message boards that I look at, and this is, I've been doing that for almost 20 years. But there's a group out there called Bible and Spirit of Truth Discussions on Facebook, and there tends to be, they're really heavy on legalism. You know, they are modern-day Judaists, without a doubt. Anyway, I was looking at one of them yesterday, and it was just interesting to me that one of the ones who, because I've engaged her before on legalism. In fact, I've engaged a few of some of them on legalism in my broadcast, because they would call the broadcast every now and then, and we talk about whether or not we're under the law or whatever. But at any rate, one of them was talking about how she's, for the second time, I tried to join Spirit-Led Discussions, which is another group, and, you know, they keep getting a membership, you know, and it was the same type of mindset of, yeah, they don't want this truth. You know, see, that's self-righteousness type of stuff. When yeah, see, we're going to delete them because we're protecting the people here from... Listen, you can't protect people from error. You know, anybody who's listening to my broadcast for any prolonged period of time, I don't care if a Satanist calls my show. I really could care less. You know? Because you can't protect people from information. Especially in the information age, what you have to do is prepare people for information in the information age. It is a cultic mentality. And I was talking to one lady who about another group I haven't mentioned, that I told her I'm not going to post in there again because someone asked a question. I actually responded to the question. It was concerning whether or not the perpetuity of the gift of Apostle, and I said, I don't believe they exist anymore. And somebody asked me to drill down, so I drilled down. And actually, I didn't even drill down nearly as deeply as I could have. I offered one reference, and that reference was Ephesians chapter 2, where it says that the apostles and prophets are the foundation, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, and the rest of us are growing on that foundation. And that alone, the word foundation, if they're the foundation, by the very definition, a foundation is not built throughout a structure. It is the bottom of a structure. So the question was asked, well, it was postulated that, well, we shouldn't say that they don't exist anymore if we can't prove it. And, of course, my response was, well, yes, you know, we can prove it. In fact, and I just asked this question, in what language, just give me any language, where foundation means other than the bottom? Because the passage is fairly emphatic in that emphasis. It's fairly emphatic. Let me read it to you real quick, and then we'll get on with our day's plan. In Ephesians chapter 2, where, and I was actually pleased to say, and this is what I mean by if people have no other way to go, then they go with the rhetoric. But I was pleased that the moment that I offered this as a reason, this discussion had been going on, I was pleased that the moment that I was able to present this word, that people then latched onto the word. You know, it goes back to the old thing that if you got a glass of dirty water, people are going to drink dirty water. But if you provide them the clean water that the word represents, all you got to do is provide it. And if somebody who is honestly mistaken encounters that truth, then, again, they'll cease being mistaken. Others will cease being honest. At any rate, in Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul says, and I'm going to read the whole thing, he says, verse 18, he says, for through him we both have access, talking about Jew and Greek, by one Spirit to the Father. Thou, therefore you are no longer strangers or foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having, listen to this, having been built. Having been built on the foundation, notice the past tense, of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole body being, now do you notice this? Listen to this. Listen to the language. Verse 21, he's talking about the church. And people say, well, yeah, but there were still apostles around. And yeah, but keep understand that many things that were said prophetically. And he's talking about the structure. Jesus Christ said, you know, on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. He was speaking about the building of his church. And here, notice how it references their role. Having been built, past tense, on the foundation of the apostles, prophets, Jesus Christ being in the chief cornerstone. Verse 21, in whom the whole body being joined together grows. Notice both of those are present tense. Grows with the increase. Grows into the holy temple of the Lord, verse 22, in whom you also are being built together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. I mean, it's just that's all I read was that. And, and I asked that question, in what language does foundation mean other than the bottom? That passage is clear. You have to not want to see just those three verses. And again, that's not even the in-depth answer. You know, I've talked about the in-depth answer before. I mean, First Corinthians chapter 13, where Paul explicitly points out that some gifts have a temporary nature, and what would cause some of these gifts to come to an end. You know, and so instead of responding to that, what I noticed was my post, that just that one, nothing else was missing. And so when I inboxed the administrator. Well, first was my post deleted? And no one responded. So I inboxed the administrator. And the response was, we got a lot of babies in here. We just got to protect them if we can't prove you prove whether or not that's true, not by looking at it. I never just gave my opinion, say, so without any evidence. I didn't, when I was asked, I said, I don't believe they exist. I do that out of nicety. And because I can't prove anything, no one can prove anything to 100%. No one can. I'm talking about you can't prove to me that your next breath is coming. Just because you got a breath now, you appear to be healthy, you can look at all the evidence and say, I will. I will have a next breath. Same thing with your car, same thing with the chair you sit on. You can't guarantee me the house you're in won't collapse because of some flaw that an architect who was calculating the empirical stress formula just kind of screwed up. You can't, you know. And so this whole playing this, you know, faith is looking at the evidence and drawing the conclusion based upon that. You can't prove God exists to 100%. No one can. Now, I know 1,000,000% that he does. But I'm talking about purely from, in a court of law, what I would have to do is draw the evidence. And based upon the evidence takes you there. You know, it's like George Clinton says, I'm going to take you to the bridge and drop you off into some funk. you got to jump off that last step. Once you look at all the evidence, it's not a matter of, you know, a blind jump. You're evidentially jumping. I'm sitting in my house. I sit in every day. I sit in this chair every day, so this chair has not collapsed. You know, more than one chair was made. There was never heard a recall on this chair. I can look at all this evidence and say, okay, whoever calculated the empirical stress formula of both my chair and my house, anybody who's done all of these things, if we look at all these things evidentially, we can draw a conclusion, all right? And so it's ridiculous to play these kind of word games. And so what I found was, you know, at that moment when I found that that's deleted without addressing evidentially what had been presented. And that's when I told another young lady, you know, who inboxed me about it. And I told her, I said, you know what? I absolutely won't put that as a cult mentality, whether you intend it to be or not. I'm talking about what is. You know, one thing I will never do, and I never have, is that you can listen to any of my broadcasts. They're broadcasts where I excoriate myself in the next broadcast. I like the fact that I lost my temper. But will I change it? I absolutely will not delete that broadcast. Absolutely will not. All right. Let's see. All right. Got a 30-minute broadcast today. And so what I'm going to do is, wow, I'm already almost through that. I really meant to set it for 45 minutes. And with the way that they've set up, you used to be able to go in and change a duration during a broadcast. Now it doesn't allow you that opportunity. As a matter of fact, there's quite a few things that they've changed in here. It's fine. And we'll just roll with it. So let's go real quick to what I said that I did want to talk about or go into a bit. Let's talk about some of the false views of inspirations over the next 10 minutes. And maybe you'll recognize some of these. Just bear with me a moment. Okay. Because again, I fully expected to do 45 minutes, and I just realized that I had only set it for 30 today. So let's take a look at some of these false views of inspiration for the remainder of the broadcast. All right, because there is a question as to what inspiration means. All right, so let's look at some false views, and then over the next several days, we're going to take a look at what true views of inspiration are. Let's look at some of the false views. Number one, one false view of natural inspiration that people often confuse and attribute to the Word of God that is absolutely not true is natural inspiration. There's this belief that there's nothing supernatural and that the writers of Scripture were just gifted writers like Shakespeare, you know, that these people are just naturally inspired. And so many fancy themselves. This is why you find many people who are more quick to direct you, you know, to their particular musings than to expound the Word of God to you, because they believe that they also, you know, that the Holy Spirit in them is, you know, I'm inspired to write some stuff that God wants me to share with other people too. And don't get me wrong, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God, Romans 15:4. All right, I'm not taking away from that, but when what happens is people start equating what they do with the Word of God. In fact, I was going to run a clip, but for the sake of time, I won't. But I actually have an individual who declared that their experience is greater than the Word of God. It supersedes the Word of God. You know, and they fancy themselves as being inspired. Natural inspiration is a false view of inspiration. That's not what Scripture's talking about. All right? Spiritual inspiration is another false view of inspiration. Individuals convince themselves that the writers weren't any more inspired than you and I. Thus, the Scriptures could potentially be written today. Now, they sound alike, but the difference, or the subtle difference between natural inspiration and spiritual inspiration, is natural inspiration believes that God is not involved. You just have a natural gift that you are leveraging. Spiritual inspiration believes that, yeah, you know, God was in them writing this stuff, but you know what? He's writing the same stuff in me today. And so it adds the God element behind it. I've heard individuals who, one guy asked a question one day, you know, why are we reading the Gospel of Paul? Though I never figured out where that was. But he said, why are we reading the Gospel of Paul and Mark? And why can't there be a Gospel of and I'm not going to call his name because I'm not really trying to inflame the brother. I know he still holds this position. And I have no problem engaging. But many of you, you can listen to my older broadcast, God's Word in Ignorant Times, God's Holy Word in Ignorant Times. And I play clips extensively related to that because it was a conversation and a broadcast that they were having where they begin to do the same thing that I see these others who are on the road of doing right now. But the ones right now are doing it more subtly. On the one hand, they claim that they believe the Word of God. I'm not questioning that both of these things are true in their minds, but you can be double-minded. And I'm actually seeing this double-mindedness as individuals are presenting the Word of God to defend the things that they agree with it on and skewering it on the things that they disagree with it on. All right, so let's look at a third view of false view of inspiration. A third view is what's called dynamic inspiration. And what dynamic inspiration teaches is that only portions of Scripture, only the portions that deal with faith and conduct are inspired. The rest that are related to history, science, etc., are not. It's not all God's Word, but it does contain God's Word. That's a false view of inspiration. All right, let's look at a fourth. What's called conceptual inspiration. Conceptual. I know I'm rushing through this again. I have no problem, any of you, if you want the study notes for this. You can give me a call on my ministry line, 614-388-8838. These are actually the outlines for my systematic theology class. When I taught systematic theology class at Sunbury Road Bible Institute. And I also had a couple of on-air theology courses several years ago that I adapted this course to an online course. And maybe something I do going forward again. But I have no problem providing these notes to any who would like them. Anyway, conceptual inspiration teaches that only the concepts of the writers of Scripture are inspired, not the very words. God gave men concepts and left it to them to develop them. You know, so God wanted to talk about this, you know, and use your words. Some of your words may be kind of messed up. Some of it may be your opinion. But, you know, as long as we find God's concept in there. Again, it's the subtle eroding of what Scripture defines being divinely inspired as. All right. Another one that I've dealt with recently is what is called divine dictation. And this is where, you know, someone, and I actually thought this was a fantastic question asked by a sister. Her concern was, how come it says in the account where Christ cast the evil spirit out of the man into the pig, and there are other instances that you find this question revolving around why after the resurrection do the gospel writers contradict themselves? One says one man, one says two men, one says one angel, one says two angels. This is because of the view that people think that scriptures, the writers of scripture, passively took dictation from God. So therefore, why didn't they use the same language? And of course, my response to that was divine dictation is not what scripture, it's not the anoustos, what scripture calls the anoustos, or God breathing. God breathed the word into these individuals. Every writer is afforded the opportunity to write from, they weren't passively moved and possessed. Like my mother, when I was younger, I remember my mother, who was a wonderful woman of God, and by the way, for those who question the whole concept of elders, my physical mother is my spiritual daughter. And as confusing as that may sound, I discipled my mother, who was in church for years before me. But as I studied the Word of God and I grew in the Word of God and I could see the a lot of air that my mother had with the Word of God, I had the opportunity to discuss the Word of God with my mother. My mother and my stepfather, and he's a quote-unquote elder served pretty much as assistant pastor of a large church. In the Church of God in Christ, and I discipled both of them. And so my spiritual parents became, I mean, my physical parents became my spiritual children, for lack of a better word, because I taught them the Word of God. I was able to share with them. And there was no pride and no issue, and now they're my colleagues once again. You know what I got? Coming up on 1 minute left. I hate to leave it off there, but I'm going to pick up at divine dictation tomorrow, and then we're going to move into the biblical view of what inspiration speaks to when Scripture says that the Word of God is inspired in its entirety. So I look forward to you joining me tomorrow. I know in these there actually should have been 45 minutes, but they had 15 more minutes, but my mistake in how I scheduled today. So join me tomorrow, and we're going to pick up, and we're going to pick up a divine dictation, and we're going to move forward as far as we can from there. So until then, this is Rick Young, the apologist, praying you have a blessed day. Again, you have any questions, give me a call, 614-388-8838. See you next time.
Thank you for joining me for today's edition of Ark Studies Live. I'm Rick Young. The Apologist segment focuses exclusively on addressing your questions and comments concerning hardcore doctrinal issues relating to biblical difficulties, countercult studies, and Christian apologetics. For more information about Ark, go to the World Wide Web at www.arkstudies.org. Again, that's www.arkstudies.org. Oh,